This morning's first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah. We're reading from chapter 7 and we're starting at verse 10. It should be coming up on the screen for you, but if you want to turn it up in the Bible for yourself, it's on page 691. So that's Isaiah chapter 7. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. This is the word of the Lord.
This gospel reading will be from Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ. Have a moment's quiet. Are you coming down, group, or staying there? Stay there? I'm sure the back pew is probably better than the front, but never mind. Moments quiet, short prayer. Heavenly Father, may your word speak through my words, and may all our hearts be open to receive it, to the glory of your name. Amen. I'm going to start by asking you a question, which might not immediately make a great deal of sense, but I hope it will in a little while. The question is, are you seeing a sign and making space? But how does one define a sign? Well, generally speaking, signs point to something. They're a sort of X marks the spot type of function. They're clues. And some signs spell out quite clearly what they're saying. If you see for sale on a state agent's board, you assume that the place is for sale. There might be some small print, but it's generally quite clear. And at the other end of the clarity scale, there's things that are a bit more subtle, like the onset of an illness, which, unless you're an expert, you might not be able to diagnose. Or like me, I don't know why my plant in the kitchen is looking a bit sick. It's showing some subtle signs of illness, which I cannot interpret. And road signs, to my mind, can sit somewhere in between on that spectrum. We all know, don't we, those ghastly diversion signs, and you sort of think, where are we being diverted from and to? And I personally am dreading January because they're going to close the A21 for great stretches, and I'm on the diversion route, so I should be quite clear. And I do remember from childhood, as a family, we used to think that a mile in Devon was twice as long as a mile anywhere else in the country. They seem to go on forever on those fingerboards. And then there's those signs, aren't there? Those funny ones that are quoted and you wonder if they're true. The church notice board signs, such as, "Don't let worry kill you, let the church help." Or, "Can't sleep, don't count sheep, speak to the shepherd." Not sure about that one. But seriously, there's signs, aren't there, of all sorts, all round us. And we've had signs for ages now telling us Christmas is on the way. Some signs are simply a distraction. Those by the side of the road quite often are. But there are some signs that we ignore at our peril. And we're going to focus on one of those this morning. So you may find it helpful to turn to our reading from Isaiah chapter 7, which is page either 691 or 692 in the church Bibles. And this passage this morning is key to this whole chapter in Isaiah. So I think it's helpful just briefly to set the context of that exchange between Isaiah and Ahaz, king of Judah. Assyria, which is mentioned at the end of our reading, was in the ascendancy and was aggressively extending her borders. The kings of Israel and Syria had formed an anti-Assyrian pact and wanted Judah and Ahaz to join them. Ahaz was in a serious quandary. He feared invasion by Israel and Syria, but he didn't want to join the pact either. So when Isaiah confronted him, he was sort of thinking he might find security through submitting to Assyria. Isaiah offered him an alternative in verses just before the ones we had read. He suggested to Ahaz that he trust completely in God. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? It's really great when you've got a problem and you can leave it to somebody else. Oh, so-and-so will sort that for you. Great. Relief all round. But Ahaz refused. And therefore the Lord said to him, verse 11, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights." So let's just look at what that sign was and its significance. God had been giving signs since the time immemorial, since the beginning. He gave the sign of the rainbow to Noah and promised he wouldn't flood the whole earth again. Hence, it's not really surprising that he will give a sign to indicate the most important birth in human history. And that sign is encapsulated in verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." So let's look first at that sign and then at Ahaz's reaction to it, bearing in mind our opening question, seeing a sign and making space. So the sign, the commentators discuss, as they will, verse 14 at length. Who was the virgin? Was she a virgin or a young woman? Was she the wife of Isaiah? Was she the wife of Ahaz? Was this referring to an immediate birth, or was it looking further ahead? The immediacy thing makes some sense, because back in chapter 1 of Isaiah, Zion is referred to as a woman. And if the virgin here is Zion, then the son is the faithful remnant which will emerge from her sufferings. Hence the name Emmanuel, God with us. God will be with that faithful remnant. And Emmanuel is the heart of the sign in verse 14, but it doesn't say exactly who he is. But this sign, this prophecy, is surely looking beyond the immediate. It finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And this becomes clearer as we read on in Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Whilst an earthly king calls an army, God looks to the birth of a child. Something small and vulnerable sent to save the world. And God's sign here is for a bigger audience than just Ahaz. The you in verse 14 is plural. It refers to the whole house of David, the whole dynasty of David. And put in the words of one commentary, God may have been unveiling the distant scene by way of the near scene. Time to think again, perhaps, about seeing a sign and making space. But God needed a young woman to go along with his great vision. He found her. He found Mary in the little town of Nazareth. Mary made space for God in her womb. Later on, Joseph of Arimathea made space for God in his tomb. God needs the cooperation of the human race to fulfill his purposes. And like Mary, we should be those cooperative agents. We should be saying yes every day. Are we really seeing a sign and making space this Christmas? Or are we just too burdened with the material and practical things and the rush and hubbub? So maybe a quick look at Ahaz's reaction would be helpful. The sign in verse 14 was both a promise and a threat. For Isaiah and the faithful remnant of Israel, it meant God's continuing presence and the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise for his people. And that remnant was part of the process that led to the coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew sees that, doesn't it? We heard him quote Isaiah in describing Joseph's dream as, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." And that prophet, as we heard, was Isaiah. But poor old Ahaz saw nothing, either in the immediate future or further beyond. Back in chapter 6, as we heard last week, Isaiah, in his commission, was told to make the ears of rebellious people dull and to close their eyes. And that's exactly what was happening to Ahaz. He rejected the word of the prophet and the offer of a clear sign to confirm it. He was then given the sign we've just been looking at, and he couldn't or wouldn't understand it. Isaiah challenged Ahaz to repent, and he refused. The veiled threat in verse 14 is expounded more clearly in verse 17 and in the rest of this chapter. Verse 17, "The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Abraham, since Ephraim, broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." And we all know, don't we, how scared Ahaz was of Assyria. There's some exasperation, I feel, here with Ahaz. There's a shift. In verse 11, we read, "Your God." In verse 13, we read, "My God." So just contrast what we've seen of Ahaz's reaction with that of Joseph in our reading from Matthew. God uses Joseph's dream to instruct him through the angel as to what he was to do. Unlike Ahaz, Joseph obeyed the sign given to him. He accepted what God had planned for him and move forward in faith, even though he had already decided that he was going to divorce Mary quietly. Ahaz, on the other hand, had tried to solve his problems himself without God's help. And the overriding lesson here is that that sign could only be understood by faith, through the perspective of faith. The reality is that that doesn't just involve going to church, singing carols, doing good works, although that's all good stuff. It really means opening our hearts and minds to the Lord, not just for Christmas, for always, for every day. We may need some help to do that. I'm only partway through it at the moment, but I'm reading R.T. Kendall's Prepare Your Heart for the Midnight Cry, in which through the parable of the 10 virgins, he's trying to help the reader prepare their hearts in expectation for the second coming. And wow, he's so enthusiastic about it as well. It's just almost really quite infectious. His warning is that once the midnight cry comes, it will be too late to change from being a foolish virgin to a wise one. But it's not too late now. So maybe we also need to stop, be quiet, and ironically, perhaps, close our eyes in order to think and to be seeing a sign and making space. But I would suggest that if you spot a road sign you don't understand, you don't close your eyes, or you might be in God's presence rather more quickly than you anticipate. But I think sometimes we just particularly now need to stop and take stock. The Bishop of Rochester in his Christmas message this year is talking about watching for signs of God's kingdom, particularly in this season of Advent when we are watching and waiting, looking, expecting and anticipating. He encourages us to look into our own lives, to look at our church, to look at the world, and prayerfully to see where we can see signs of God's kingdom. And obviously you can find his full message on the Darsen website. There are signs of God's kingdom all around us, but importantly, the same sign given to Ahaz and to Joseph is given to you and me. The virgin conceived and has given birth to a son, and he is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. So are you, are we, seeing the sign and making space this Christmas? Are we going to respond in faith like Joseph rather than dismiss the sign like Ahaz? I think that all gives us something to be reflecting on and working on. So let's just pause for a moment before I close in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to look to the future in confidence and faith, trusting in your word. May we seek and discern your will in all that we do and go forward in obedience to your direction. May we see the sign and make space to receive you into our hearts. This we ask in and through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.